Yes, Lakeview has an athletic team, believe it or not. One of you guys is on it there too. Really appreciative of what the county has done for bicycle infrastructure. Not just our paved paths around the county, not just our signage on roads, but the mountain bike trails especially. Lakeview could not have a mountain bike team if we did not have those mountain bike trails. So really appreciative of that. Silver Lake is a go-to for us, but especially so is Petrifying Springs Park. A lot of the kids on our team live east of the eye. Silver Lake is kind of a haul for us to get to. Pets is very convenient. Pets has had trails for a lot of years, kind of road trails out there that have now been legitimized. Thanks to the good work of Camba here in town, we really appreciate that. I really want to focus the gratitude also on the new trails at Pets. A couple of new lines opened up this year. As a head coach, it's my job to kind of keep these youth interested and energized and coming to practice twice a week for 4 or 5 months of the summer. Any of us with kids or work with kids know that their attention span is a little bit short at times. They get bored of the same old trails. So having those new trails at Pets that Camba has built, that the county has encouraged, allowed, really appreciative of that. We turned some kids on to the new trails north of A recently, and boy, they just had smiles for miles riding that stuff. So really appreciate that stuff. With that, I'll keep it short. Again, thank you for the support. We love it.
Thank you. Any more citizens' comments? Are there any more citizens' comments? All right, seeing no more citizens' comments. Citizens' comments are closed. Next, we go to approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Stock, second by Supervisor Carroll. Are there any questions? Discussion? Okay. Youth and Governance, you vote on the minutes.
Okay.
The rest of the committee?
Aye.
Okay, minutes passed. And then I will have comments, I will have comments during the Parkside Agreement discussion. Other than that, I have no other comments at this time. Any other supervisors? Well, first, Youth and Governance, any comments? First, Jay Release. Go ahead, Jay.
I'll speak real quick. Speaking of last Tuesday's county board meeting, I was really happy to see a youth from my team, as well as just in our communities, show up to support mountain biking in the community out at the county board meeting, as well as getting to see kind of county board in action as well. I believe it's really important for youth to hear their voice in the county government, as well as knowing that people do care about their interests. And that they can also have a voice in it, like having my teammate get to speak in front of them, as well as myself, to kind of advocate for the things that we do and the things we care about. And I would also like to say again, say my appreciation for our county board, as well as our parks and planning department, for what they do with the trail system. I know, as an avid user of them, both on the road as well as in the parks, that without them, I couldn't even sometimes get to sometimes the places where I need to go. I use them to get to running practice, to get into work even. Our trail system helps keep us active, and it's just really important to me to see that we continue to invest in it and to expand it, as well as keeping our youth involved in that process. So I'm really happy to see it.
Very good. Thank you. No?
Okay. I don't know if you had anything.
All right. Any supervisors with comments?
No.
All right. See no supervisor additional comments. We'll start with our Parks Division. Matt, can you take it from here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you want to kick things off, or did you want me to kick things off?
No, go ahead. I'll let you go with the mat.
So the first thing under the Parks Division report is a topic considered Parkside Agreement discussion. And with that, I'd like to introduce our interim chancellor for UW Parkside, Scott Menke. So interim chancellor Menke is joined on behalf of UW Parkside. as much as we have our own, I'll call it internal experts, based on some recent misinformation, I'll call it, and also questions related to our intergovernmental agreement between UW-Parkside and the Kenosha County. So I like this because there's a lot of new committee members as far as the makeup of Public Works Committee, as much as county board supervisors. Just to give a brief history based on our IGA, or intergovernmental agreement. So with that, this IGA was signed back in 2019, and a lot of work even went into the IGA prior to signing on the dotted line by both county board at that time, our county executive at that time, board of regents, and the previous chancellor. Several years, or I'd say a couple years before 2019, we had internal discussions between UW-Parkside and Kenosha County based on both shared interest, I'll call it, as much as challenges with a lot of the natural areas, both on properties of Petrifying Springs Park and UW-Parkside. UW-Parkside has approximately 139 undeveloped acres of beautiful woodland that already had all the necessary fundamentals for a pristine trail network. The issue, and I don't mean to speak on your behalf, so please correct me, but there is challenges where there was a lot of rogue trails being constructed and built in the dead of the night. And I mean the dead of the night, where people would put on headlamps and construct trails for hiking trails as much as mountain bike trails. And Parkside had some challenges based on not enough resources to manage all of the natural areas within their campus. So we had a lot of strategy sessions about what to do. And there was two options on the table: shut it all down, renaturalize it, not make it public, or figure out a way, instead of butting heads with people because they want to be out in the natural areas. These type of locations are becoming more and more rare to our community. So instead of closing the door because we can't figure out a way to work with these individuals, we figured out the best way is to be more inclusive, because we can't just be playing this whack-a-mole game where we're just putting out fires all the time. We have to be very strategic with how we do things. But if we invite those people in because they're so passionate about the natural resources and trails and mountain biking or hiking and running, it's up to us, being stewards of these properties, to work with intergovernmental relationships between the Board of Regents, the state, and the county, to be strategic in a thoughtful manner to really invite the public out with all these natural resources. And it made complete sense that our properties truly abut. So Petrifying Springs Park, we have over 1.4 million people that visit that park on an annual basis. Parkside has a great educational system that we're all proud to have in our backyard. And we have strengths on both sides of the realm that we felt that if we could do some stuff with the strategic planning, the trail development, then UW-Parkside would be able to open that up to their students, their faculty, their education, to really enhance that network of environmental studies, trails, for their use as much as for the public use. So we went back and forth for probably a full year before it became a public document to sign by all parties, to make sure that we had really a three-pillar approach to have all of our agreeables that work for each individual organization. One was about the trails, to really realign those for the greater good of the whole, because everyone wants a piece of that pie, but that pie can only go so far. So you have to divvy it out based on end users. We have our hiking group, we have our dog walkers, we have our trail runners, we have our mountain bikers. The list goes on, especially with the research and faculty that's needed on the UW-Parkside. So the trails was one pillar. The Pike River and our continued efforts with the restoration goes directly through UW-Parkside. And this is a 50-year agreement, and we can extend it by another 50 years. We're not going to do this all in 1 year, but we all knew that there was shared interest to continue to restore the Pike River through Petrifying Springs Park as much as UW-Parkside. So that was the second pillar. The third is the natural resources that we want to keep pristine. And we have both shared agreeables to continue to work on invasive species removal, restoration, focus on that habitat from an educational perspective as much as just being good stewards of the property. So once we had all those agreeables worked out, we had basically a document of agreeables that was signed back in 2019. Since that time, we've had even more meetings that really compounded all the more details, especially with the trail plan. And we spent from 2019 up until we started trail construction, I want to say 2021 or so, to really become strategic in our plan for trail development. It's not just like, okay, I feel like putting a trail here. That's not how we do things. We have to talk to their staff as far as faculty, administration on UW Park side of things. We got sewer pack involved to actually delineate wetland, so we're not building trail within wetland habitat. There's critical species that were identified, flagged, and GPS as far as an overlay. There's floodplain issues as far as how to manage that. We can't be putting trails through really sensitive floodplain because then we're gonna have to close down trails all the time. So these are just a few examples. Not only that, but then you have the stakeholder engagement sessions. You listen to people about what's in their best interest in order to try to appease everyone. Does it mean that everyone got their way? Probably ask Canva. We had to tell them no a lot, unfortunately, because everyone wants more than they probably can have. So there's compromise happening on all levels, all when you develop that plan. Just because it's a no doesn't mean that we listen, but we have to be strategic when we do things at the same time, because there's sensitive areas that you cannot put a trail. We need to close these things down because it's highly eroded. Maybe there's other wetland concerns that you can't be doing, you can't fill it in with wood chips because the DNR does not like that. So I just want to make sure I say all this on the front end, because sometimes, because we work so hard behind the scenes to do all these strategic plans, it's not conveyed maybe to the public, but that doesn't mean that we're not thoughtful and thorough about how we do not only a trail development project, but everything within public works, to be honest. It could be a roadway construction. It could be a basin that we're trying to restore. Fill in the blank with public works. We don't like to wing it, and that's not what we are doing with this. So we are very strategic, and we took 2 years of listening and developing a plan, and we're at a point that we're very successful, not only with the multi-use trail network that we developed, but we're also working in tandem and lockstep with our partners of Kenosha Area Mountain Bike Association. So with that, we did develop a letter that we had signed by multiple elected officials, being our county executive, Samantha Kirkman, our previous county executive, Jim Cruiser, the chairman, Mark Nordigan, and then UW Parkside interim chancellor, Scott Menke. So with that, I'd like to pass these out so there's a copy on the record, kind of stating basically that our relationship is alive and well. And I truly ask if there's any questions during this discussion. We have Jennifer Kopp from legal counsel. If there's any questions regarding risk or liability of mountain biking, if there's any questions as far as us not fulfilling our IGA, we'll hear it right from Scott, because I don't like to speak on anyone else's behalf with those things. So I just want to make sure that this topic has been going on for way too long with our IGA, and this is our opportunity to hopefully clear the air, answer any questions, and move on. So thank you.
Thank you, and I agree with the process. Unfortunately, Supervisor Thomas, I know, who has been very involved, not here, but he has asked for all documents, so we'll make sure we get a copy of this to him, as well as I'm sure he'll want a copy of the recording as well to listen to. So just let everybody know that we're out to him. Thank you, Matt. That was very thorough.
Sorry.
I appreciate that. Some of the questions I had from our last committee meeting. So there were seven questions I had. There were various different questions. I think Jennifer Kopp, is that who's? I think Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer, and I think Joe Cardamone both worked together on getting that thing. Thank you. But it's basically said the same things that Matt, you just said about the IGA and the trails and our. What it is that we have responsibility for. We do not lease UW Parkside land. Plain and simple. We have three specific goals. Matt just mentioned them all. So any of those structures that were brought up in the previous meeting or anything that has to do with anything other than those three areas, we have no responsibility for. We also have what's called governmental as well as recreational immunity. So if anybody gets hurt out there doing those things, going out to Las Vegas, we aren't charging for it, I guess, correct? We have no immunity, or we have immunity from any lawsuits or losing lawsuits, I guess anybody can sue you for any reason. So we have no issues going forward with that. So it's play at your own risk out there, walk at your own risk out there, watch other people at your own risk, as you know we would anywhere. So I just wanted to bring that forward, and thank you for that, Jennifer. I assume we're in good shape with UW Parkside, Chester?
I think Matt described it very well. I mean, in the very beginning, as he said, we had rope trails. I mean, our police could not properly police that area. So, I mean, Matt went through the whole history, but the faculty are the ones that I basically have to answer to as far as the area. Having the environmental damage that was going on was a big concern to them. There were protected species. There were areas that, like you said, SewerPAC came in, helped us delineate the areas. Our faculty are very happy with the way things turned out, which I was surprised because I have a faculty that complains about everything. And Matt
said that in an open meeting.
Matt stepped up and his team, Canva worked with us, the runners worked with, they all stepped up and tried to help make it a good project, and it's working out really great. So I can't complain.
So if we're on year 49 of our current agreement, would you be saying we'd be looking to sign on for
absolutely, yeah. I mean, we, and going back to the very beginning as far as the police, you don't want to be an adversarial role when you're a big member of the community. So this was a really good solution to work with the community, work with, I mean, these people are going to do this, the bikers were going to do this one way or another, create rope trails. There's runners that like the trails, but they were not in a, some of them were in the floodplain, some of them were not being very well taken care of. Now we can manage it much better through the county.
Right. Matt, you said that you're working with CAMBA. Are there other groups that are asking to work with us now or in the past we've worked with these specifically for either Pets or Silver Lake Park?
Not for trails. We always reach out for assistance from a volunteer standpoint. We ask running organizations to help out, build, construct, maintain running trails. But CAMBA, really, I mean, they're sweat equity. I can't tell you how appreciative I am for the amount of volunteerism they do for the community trails. So they really are a front runner with working with Kenosha County. And I'll just add one quick point to the CAMBA is, again, if we have a 501c3 not-profit organization with a bunch of volunteers, it's much easier for us, our trails coordinator, to have one point of contact instead of everyone doing things for their own individual needs. So having a nonprofit organization to work with, so even if there is corrective measures that are needed, it's much easier to hunt down a 501c3 to remedy those things based on building or construction or maintenance versus having a hodgepodge of what it was before. So I'm very appreciative that they formed as far as a not-for-profit, and it makes our job for the county that we don't have to pour in staff resources and more tax dollars because they're doing it as volunteers working on our behalf.
And one of the items that came up at the last meeting was that ramp that was built, I guess it was for the bike ramp. They were concerned about jumping off and hitting people. But back up to the ramp itself. So do we just allow them to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, wherever they want to do it, or is there some sort of oversight by the county to be sure?
I'll have, if you look at JT's facial expression, well, I mentioned this one. So JT's our trails coordinator, and he really helps out with reviewing, evaluating, and making sure there's certain standards with trail construction, both with our internal trails as much as any single-track purpose-built mountain bike trails. And if we do find, after we review plans, we know where CAMBA's work as far as their specific trails, that they're not done to a certain standard, for example, the ramp, we actually have them rip it out the first time and do it up to our standard. I know they weren't happy, so sorry, guys, for that. But we went through, we wanted to make sure that from a construction standpoint, that we had concrete footings it had a good foundation for the durability of that ramp. We made sure it was green treated pressurized wood, and that it had rough sawn timber for traction control, so even on a wet or dewy conditions, that we're trying to mitigate as much as humanly possible any issues with any of those features. So not only do we do it from a construction standpoint, have an in-house talent that understands how to build trails that can review and evaluate, and we can have corrective action. So those things are really beneficial to have a trails coordinator that's seasonal in our back pocket to review, evaluate, and correct as needed with the trail construction. But yes, we do evaluate and approve the trail construction as it goes step by step with their phasing.
And there's like a standard for the industry, or it's mountain bike or deck building or whatever it is.
Correct. It's called the International Mountain Bike Association. There is a standardization. It's probably close to 150, 200 pages thick, where it goes through, it's an art and a science, right? So there we go. So it's a blend, and we have to meet certain gradations, grade reversals, switchbacks, storm water, in order to get those trails as dry as possible. There's different techniques that it goes through, and that's our standardization that we use, not only with mountain bike trails, but honestly, it's beneficial for all hiking trails. Back when JT started, he had canvassed all of our hiking trails and found out strategic ways to keep them more dry than they were before. So we had to do trail reroutes. We had to do more wetland delineations in order to keep them dry. So Bristol Woods is a great example. Pringle Nature Center can use those trails year-round, or otherwise they could not do so, because we were able to work strategically on those IMBA standards to resolve a lot of the sins of our past, I'll call it, with our trail network. So by having the standardization, it helps with CAMBA having those standards. It helps us check that box that they're doing things up to that IMBA standard. And it's a good way for us internally to keep on improving our trails throughout all of Kenosha County. Because yes, the topic's about this agreement, but it really just showcases the importance of trails, and people are really passionate about it, right? So we respect that, but all we're trying to do is make sure that they're more used by a larger network of people at the end of the day.
The trail standards that JT had held up, is that for hiking trails, running, mountain bike? It has all of them in there?
It's focused on mountain biking, okay. But the techniques don't change. So when we developed about 8 miles of trails over at Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, that was our standard that we used, even for the crushed aggregate trails, to make sure that we don't have erosion issues. So the same standards do apply, and with any other engineering technique. It's just more about stormwater management. That's why JT's title should be a stormwater manager versus trail coordinator, because it's all what you do with the stormwater runoff.
And then if I heard you correctly, a post doesn't get put into the ground, it has in the trail system or any of our trail system without the county knowing. To be used, if you will. We know about it if it's going to happen. We know about it ahead of time, it just doesn't happen. Much rather, we want them to ask permission rather than do it and ask forgiveness. So.
Correct. So in the instance of CAMBA specifically, they're working within the middle golf course woods. So on the golf course, there's some natural areas. We have it already mapped out based on that plan, where they're going to be, what type of work they're being performed. Now, can I say to the detail of what a feature would be? Of course not, because that's where you have a blend of art and science and technique. So we have very skilled mountain bikers as volunteers that sometimes you have to actually mold the earth and work with the surroundings with what you do. And if we have to allow a certain level of autonomy with trail construction and building, because if we try to hamstring them too much, well, then there goes the creativity. But before a trail opens, we are always evaluating, reviewing it, making sure it's up to our standard. We always work with CAMBA basically to not do the bookends. We always work from within, so it's not as seen by the public, so then they don't start riding it right away. We leave that highly densely forested. We work on the middle part. We review and evaluate that, so when they have to do their final cut on both ends, we know we check that box, or we remedy any concerns that we might have internally.
And I think my last question is going to be, it goes back to JT and the trail standard. Is there a certification that people have to become in order to certify the trails or to that, or is it just a standard by which someone who understands trails can go by and, you know, check the boxes off?
Great question, and JT, I'll answer the first part. Feel free to jump in afterwards. There's a standard called Trail Boss, and part of our original trail agreement with Great Lakes Trails Builders, we offered two classes that the county paid for. So the people that are building trails right now were basically training the trainers. So they went through the certification program through a Trail Boss, and I think some of those members are with us this evening, that they were trained on trail construction techniques appropriately through the Great Lakes Trail Builders, so we were able to get that certification. I know JT himself has a lot of different certifications internally that helps us out, and I don't know if I'm missing anything.
Basically, this book lays out the standard, and each of these guys that works on the trails have been trained on this book, and I've also created handouts for each of them. Anytime we get a new person, they get a handout that gives them the basics. They went through both of those training sessions with Willie Bender from Great Lakes Trail Builders. When you finish the design, part of that package is to do a training session with leadership and the trail bosses that were out there, of which Dustin is the trail boss for Petrifying Springs, and I personally bought him his own trail solutions book. And that's part of the inspection process when I come in and look at what they do. So anytime they build something new, I'm literally out there the next day inspecting things. And I know I've been at Thornton's side a few different times where I said, hey, this here doesn't cut it. You're going to need to rework this. This is how you're going to have to do drainage on that. And it's a give and take process throughout the whole thing for us to hone in on those things. If this works, that doesn't work, fix this. Now we're where we need to be. Then we put up the sign on the trail.
Thank you. I lied. I have one more. One more question. I can remember what it was. But go ahead. Anybody else who has?
I do.
Supervisor Bowski.
Are there any rogue trails that still exist or areas that were previously used that still exist and need attention?
Yes.
And what is our risk?
As far as the rogue trails go?
If somebody were to use them and hurt themselves.
So those trails are not signed. Everything that we do working with Canva or any of our multi-use trails, once they are fully approved, we sign them. They're part of our mapping network, and they become official. Any of the unauthorized rogue trails, they're more in the environmentally sensitive area on that northwest quadrant of UW Parkside area more specifically. Those are still open. Now, do they have anything that would I consider dangerous to this point? Because I asked that pointed question to JT. And there's nothing that would be like, we need to shut this down immediately, but it does create confusion still. It does create not an enjoyable user experience because then they go to social media and complain that they got lost in the woods because they're going on rogue trails still. But our challenge, why we don't shut them down immediately, is if we just shut everything down, then we're back at whack-a-mole again, where people get upset that we're taking everything away, and people aren't very patient these days. So then they're ripping apart all of our brush piles, trying to get back it again, and all of our resources are spent doing whack-a-mole versus trail construction and building. So it's been a good working model for us to open up new trail that has been specifically designed up to our standard, and then we go out and we close that unauthorized, unsustainable trail. So you give and then you take at the same time. So the northwestern quadrant, that's what I'd consider the most sensitive of our areas. That's where we spent the most time between UW Parkside and Kenosha County to really get that right. That first off, it's a practice for our CAMBA folks to determine and for us to verify their trail building techniques before we go into a highly sensitive, environmentally sensitive area. And then that's where we're gonna go for our final phase of the three-phase mountain bike trails, is that area where we still have rogue trails.
So someone could misrepresent through a picture or a video saying, look at these dangerous trails, when they aren't really officially trails, they're just left over.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but okay. There very well could be that they're on something that's just not authorized.
Okay, and then Chancellor Menke, I'm Supervisor Belsky. Do you have a good working relationship with Director Collins?
Oh, yeah. He calls me just about any time he wants, and I call him whenever I need something, so...
Wonderful. Yeah, no. And he's very... Is he responsive to you and your staff?
It was a very responsive relationship because, like I said, I was working with faculty, and the faculty are hard to please because they use this area for research, and they take classes out there. So they had a very high standard right from the beginning, and they were concerned about the rogue trails and the environmental damage that was being done by the rogue trails. So they actually saw it as a real positive to bring in the county and Matt and his team. I mean, we had numerous meetings where we get the faculty and everybody together in one big room and kind of talk through the whole process. And the faculty were involved from the very beginning, and it worked out great.
So do you feel that you are up to date on what the county is doing? You feel well informed, or do you feel that there could be better communication?
No, Matt's always shared, well, the trail plans are pretty well set. I mean, like I said, there's plans to be vacated, certain trails to be vacated, and obviously not all of the bike trails are done yet, so they're all in process, or parts of them will be in process at some point. Some of them are done, as I understand it. But when they put the bridges in last year, was it early this summer? I can't remember anymore.
Last year.
I mean, he shared with me what's happening, the timing, pictures, diagrams, who's doing what when. I mean, he keeps me informed of what's going on. So
that's very reassuring. And I want to thank you all for your joint letter. I think it really makes it perfectly clear on what is actually transpiring. And just want to thank both of you for working together, and thanking Canva for making a great recreational facility for our youth and for our community. Thank you.
This touches on one of your questions. Just as kind of a general principle, so the law recognizes in Wisconsin that if property owners open up their property for recreational purposes, they are granted certain immunities. For example, we can't stop where someone's going to walk in the park. We cannot stop where someone is going to ride their bike. We don't have a duty to warn. We don't have a duty to go out there and inspect. We don't have a duty to stop them. So the fact that an individual might go on a rogue trail, one that we're not sanctioning, one that we're not saying is open, does not equal liability on the part of the county. That's what Chairman Gordon was saying. We would have recreational immunity for that. There's certain risks inherent in these types of activities, whether it's hiking, walking, biking. If somebody chooses to do something, go on a rogue trail, bike in an unsafe manner, it does not equal liability on the part of the county. So I wanted to make that point clear.
Thank you. That makes it very clear.
Supervisor Belsky, are you?
I'm here. Thank you.
Supervisor Stock, you
Yeah, a couple questions. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Just a couple thoughts. Obviously, Kenosha County has had mountain biking for a long time. So my first question just to all this, and again, I mountain bike and mountain bike at Silver Lake. I love it. You guys do an amazing job. So what comes to mind, question that comes to mind just in light of this discussion, is what is the main difference between how the county treats Silver Lake Park and how the county is bringing, what I feel is bringing the Silver Lake Park experience over to Pets. Obviously, there's the layer of youth that'll be Parkside. And that seems to be what keeps getting brought up. But at the end of the day, it seems that we're doing the same thing that we're doing over at Silver Lake and have done successfully for how many years?
Since 2016, we officially opened Silver Lake.
Okay, so 2016. But those are probably all rope trails before.
They were not. So that you hit the nail on the head, Supervisor.
Okay.
There's an emotional attachment, I'll call it, to Petrifying Springs and UW Park, because rogue trails or not, people love to be over at UW Parkside and Pets, and they probably wouldn't be able to tell you where that delineation of that property line is either. They just go out there and enjoy these trails. Over at Silver Lake, they cut in raw trails. So we had 18 holes of disc golf. We had our multi-use trail network already established. We compounded and layered park amenities in order to make sure that we weren't taking anything away, but it was all new. So there wasn't as much pushback at all, because it was just more in the natural areas that they were getting rid of buckthorn and honeysuckle, and that was the biggest culprit. Over here, we're reinventing the wheel that people have been using for multi-generations. So I understand it's emotional, especially if your great-great-grandfather was using those trails for some of these people. When they see change, it can be hard to adapt. I think that's the biggest thing with this comprehensive trail plan is we see a need from multiple different levels that we don't want to get into because we already explained it. But from the end public user standpoint, they don't understand that part of it, and so we need to do a better job communicating about everything that we're doing to try to enhance the trail network for the greater good of the whole. And I think that's the biggest thing is the emotional attachment to the existing trails.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing to do. I mean, I grew up going to Pets, and it was very easy to get lost back there. Just not that was a bad thing, because you get lost in nature, it's fine. But even in biking, you'd end up in a dead end and get lost, and now that's no fun. You're backtracking. So I bringing that experience that we have over at Silver Lake over to Pets, I think, is a fantastic thing. And having the multi-use next to the purpose-built mountain bike trails and everything is good as well. But you know, in spite of my disagreements with the pushback that we've gotten from the mountain bike about the mountain bike trails, I guess the next question just would be for Corporation Council. In your opinion, I'm assuming you've looked at this. You know, are we in compliance with our agreement with Parkside? Is there anything that is putting the county at risk from a legal standpoint of how we're operating now? Are we checking all of our boxes? Are we doing what we need to do as far as our agreement between Parkside and the county? Is there anything that we miss?
I will answer those questions very definitively.
Okay.
Yes, we are in compliance with our agreement with Parkside. And no, I do not believe we are doing anything to put the county at risk. So this agreement was, when it was enacted, our office was heavily involved in it. It came to this committee. It was vetted. It was vetted by the UW system. It was quite the process to get it to a point that everyone was comfortable with. Our insurance company was involved with the underlying agreement because of the issue of insurance and risk and indemnification. All of that was discussed, vetted, and it was passed by the county board. I think since that time, it's been a good cooperative relationship, which is illustrated here with the interim chancellor being present, which we appreciate. It's been a strong relationship. From a legal standpoint, I have not seen anything, heard anything, read anything, received anything that indicates that we are a breach of the agreement. And I would defend this agreement if need be. Again, the fact that we have mountain biking does not mean we are liable. The fact that there are risks inherent in mountain biking does not mean that we are liable. Again, it's something that's recognized that people are going to engage in recreational activity. There's an inherent amount of risk involved. And as long as we are doing what we're doing, it is allowable, defensible, and encouraged, because we want to open up our lands to recreational purposes. We want people to come to parks and be able to hike and walk and fish and ski. And there's risk inherent in all of that activity. So again, I think unless we are acting in a malicious manner, unless we are ignoring those risks, or let's say there is an inherently dangerous activity and we're failing to take any action once we're notified about that, what we are doing is appropriate. And I've not ever heard of an instance where there is an inherent risk for people being injured and we are not taking any action.
Could I speak to that real quick? Just to kind of play out how this would look. If Parkside was unhappy with something that the county is doing, or vice versa, what would be that process, and how would that work with the process? I believe it was kind of spelled out in the agreement, but
yeah.
There's a process that happens.
Yeah,
right?
The agreement says that if they think we are in breach of the agreement, they have to give us notice of that breach and an opportunity to cure it. And then if we fail to cure it, then it's grounds for termination of the agreement. So I would anticipate there would be a dialogue of we're not doing X, Y, and Z, we have a chance to do X, Y, and Z, and if we don't, the agreement would be terminated. There's other ways the agreement can be terminated, but there is a process if they feel that we are not complying with our terms of the agreement. And again, I think from even a broader standpoint, I think that there is a lot of sort of
So speaking of that too, I was going to ask you guys next. You know, this is a great map, and you guys provided this committee, as opposed to what was said before by in earlier meetings. If we did get this, it didn't say what trails were going to be shut down and all that. But say you guys were to deviate, you know, you guys are getting out there and you thought it was going to work, hanging a left, we're hanging right here, and you wanted to change it. You know, if it's a significant amount changed, the process is basically you would check the park side first and then, you know, do some more homework before moving forward. You're not just going to go, if you're going to deviate from this plan significantly, there would be, you would involve those that need to be involved.
Absolutely, yeah. We don't want to go rogue because of the rogue trail. That'd be shooting ourselves in the foot, absolutely. Sure. And with that, when we do our mapping with sewer pack and the environmentally sensitive areas, even to that level of detail, they've structured it to give about between 10 and 20 feet of deviation because of some of those berms, dips, switchbacks that we have to do based on the topography. That even with the mapping, it looks kind of funky there, but everything that we do is GPS mapped, including those environmentally sensitive areas, wetlands. So we have a 20-foot approximately corridor that they can do some of that maneuvering around to make interesting trails for on their side. Or when we did our multi-use trail, that sometimes you do have to make a decision out in the field, but you still have that data on your phone that map is actually layered digitally. So when our camera folks, our JTs out in the field, they're not going off of a map in the middle of the woods. Everything's technologically advanced enough that they have this on an app that they know exactly where they are in the woods and what to deter against, what to avoid from an environmentally sensitive species, a wetland habitat, and what type of autonomy they have to maybe put in a feature. So everything's been worked out. So yeah, that's a conceptual map, but what we do as far as a working document has all been digitized.
And then another point I was going to bring up, you know, mountain biking, it's a risky sport, and I don't think, you know, you would think of it as a team sport, but it definitely does help. I had a mentor, you could say. I had a neighbor who took me on the trails, and it helps build your confidence when you're going through those things. But just speaking to the safety in general, and I think you guys have already detailed this out very well, but, you know, certain features, you know, we have ramps or drops, as they're called, and, you know, where you're on a platform and it drops straight down. All those are, you know, as you stated in earlier meetings, if we have a more difficult feature, you guys are building in workarounds. So if you're not, and I'm a very cautious person, so when I go trying new things, if my confidence isn't there, then I'm gonna go around it, and I'm gonna build up my confidence and try it again the next time. So, but are there, I know you guys have these discussions, but, you know, certain features that would be just super dangerous, that would be, you know, for the recreational user, you guys aren't gonna be putting those in pets or Silver Lake without it being properly signed, or, you know, danger, this is a double black or a black. I mean, if we do get into those more challenging features, that's the people that are on the trails aren't going to be surprised, correct, as far as I wasn't expecting this group.
Correct. First off, don't do it because you're getting married soon, so I don't want to see you break a leg.
I'm sending my brother.
Please. But so, for instance, we did put in a black diamond trail recently, so it does have more difficult terrain based on the topography at hand, and that's where that one ramp was put as well. So we do label that right at the beginning of the trail that you can either use the multi-use trail, which is flat for everyone, including mountain bikers, that if you do not want to go on a black diamond, and most people understand the terminology and it's listed as the difficulty rating, both with the diamond on there, with the carsonite sign, as much, and it says like the difficulty rating. So you know right when you enter that single track purpose-built mountain bike trail what you're getting yourself into. And then as a compound effect for someone that maybe feels quasi-comfortable that they're going to try it out, it's called an A line and a B line that will always have options. So even if someone does not want to choose a ramp, for instance, and really fly off of it, because I wouldn't want to be one of those people, I'm not a mountain biker, I would go around that as well. So there's always, even before that option, it's signed and notarized as far as what option you have, A line versus B line. So if you don't feel comfortable with it, you're going to work around it. And most people that are mountain bikers that would go on the Black Diamond, they usually survey and canvas that area before they do any feature, no matter what. They're not going to go in blindly. They're going to roll up on it, see how that landing is, making sure it works for what their skill set is. So again, there's an inherent responsibility that typically mountain bikers do, is they canvas out any type of feature before going into it, but we always have a safe way route for them.
Okay. So I think this should be my final point. So I don't take your advice. I go on that black diamond. I hit the jump. I feel like I'm Superman. I crash and break my collarbone. How are they going to find me?
So, great question.
Oh, you bring your flare gun with you?
Can I if I can speak?
Absolutely.
And again, I think you're talking about mountain biking, but if you look at another context, there's going to be a level of personal autonomy here for people. If you were talking about downhill skiing or snowboarding, you go down a hill, you see there might be jumps. People can either choose to go on them or they can choose to avoid them. The fact that there's an existence of a jump or something like that, it does not per se make the owner responsible for somebody that chooses to go on that and then gets an injury. So again, I think we're thinking about mountain biking, but it's like that in a lot of different sports where there might be a jump, a ramp, something that somebody can either choose to go on or choose to avoid. The existence of that ramp or jump does not make us more liable because we have it. So,
hopefully one of your buddies finds you.
Yeah, right.
So be out there. Going back to as far as emergency rescue.
This map being, and I believe you and I talked about this, with this map being provided to the local EMS and that kind of stuff.
So yes. So the EMS through the Village of Summers does have that map. I've given them a hyperlink to our existing trails as well. So the new Chief Anderson, we actually met recently about 2 months ago, and we talked about the specific plan, and I notified him what was existing, what our plan is for additional mountain bike trails. Talking about trail construction from the get-go, they were part of our building as far as design. The multi-use trail that's shown in yellow on that map was specifically designed, especially with the four bridges, with the width of those bridges, to allow for their utility vehicles, gators, weight, tonnage, and even future-proofing, that we don't have to do things redundantly in the future, that we got their feedback on the front end so we could get the rescue squads to where they need to be in as efficient a manner as possible. Single track trails are very narrow. You're not going to get on that with a utility vehicle. But the purpose of having a holistic network of multi-use trails is we blew that out to like 6 feet or so to allow for those rescue vehicles, those utility UTV, ATVs, to get there and make those rescues. If someone calls 911, everything is now pinged as far as your phone goes. So even with emergency markers, even when you're talking to the chiefs and the rescues, they're like, nope, we know where they are already when they call 911, that we're able to pin them and their phone with where they are, versus even if we put out a car site marker with a rescue station 12, for instance. So the technology is kind of helping us in this way, that God forbid if someone can't get out of the woods themselves, based on them having the map, knowing where they are, and us building and maintaining a multi-use trail network, helps with any of those rescue situations.
We're going to get Zach help. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Well, unless the vultures get you first.
I think that's all I had.
There
was one more.
If you don't have a chance, Supervisor Carroll, any questions?
Yes.
Supervisor O'Day? Anybody else? Thank you. We appreciate all the information. Support Council as well.
Do you have a question? Jake, go ahead.
Oh, sure. So I guess from what I'm hearing about it, that the county's not liable for any of this, and I guess from Supervisor Stock's comments about risk and all, the county, though, still takes measures to reduce that risk, as you were talking about with A-line and B-lines and such. Even though we're not liable for risk, it doesn't mean we completely ignore the presence of it.
That is correct. That's why we use the International Mountain Bike Association standards. So that way we make it enjoyable. We want to make it fun, but we want to make sure that it's built in a way that people can be successful using those park amenities.
Good.
Not even kidding.
Thank you. Matt, I think you'll be sitting up here.
I will be.
On your report.
Thank you, Chancellor.
All right, we'll get into that B, which is the division report for parks. Matt, was there any changes, updates, or otherwise anything else you need to inform us on that's not in your report?
Are you guys sick of me yet? No, there's no changes, Chairman.
Okay.
Yes, that was. It should have been included with the packet of information. So I thought it was a value-added questionnaire, and It was great to see that many responses with over 400 complete responses and a lot of partials as well. So that's a lot of value added when we're going through as far as next steps for Kemper Center, that it just shows that people do know Kemper Center and they appreciate for what it offers. And now we know why for different multiple levels of their appreciation or maybe dissatisfaction with some areas. So it really gives us that baseline information of what the public's opinion is with Kemper Center. So just want to make sure we share that as we progress with our business plan.
Do you have any questions about this? I mean, right now it's just information. I don't know if there's anything that we can derive from it. Go ahead.
Could you, again, provide an overview of what Keene is going to be providing to us, what areas they're looking at, and what the comprehensive analysis is going to look like?
Absolutely. So the questionnaire that we attached is one component on multiple different areas and topics that we requested a third-party consultant, Keene Independent Research, to evaluate with Kemper Center. As we talked about before, our contract, our agreement with Kemper Center Inc. expires in 2027. We don't want to be having a conversation in the final hour with Kemper Center Inc. for us to truly evaluate next steps. And that needs to be an open dialogue with a nonprofit as much as the Kenosha County and the board to see what's working, what's not. What are some opportunities, or what are some missed opportunities with that? So the evaluation of the business and utilization plan of why we're doing it this year in 2023 is we will finish this up hopefully by the end of this year. And we're looking at quantifiable, quantitative, and qualitative data sets to basically get more input from a third party that basically is not a stakeholder to evaluate our current, let's call it, partnership with Kemper Center Inc. So the public input is extremely important for us. So we wanted to get that done really quick in order to get that feedback, and I think we were successful based on the amount of input that we received. Then we'll be looking at the financial data, the renting and booking information over the last 2 or 3 years, not including the pandemic, of course, because that's an anomaly. What the goals of Kemper Center Inc. are as far as their mission, their values, what they would like to do from their input. We had stakeholder engagement sessions that we got to ask different types of stakeholders, county supervisors, the board, the public, different volunteer organizations. Maybe it's the master gardeners that went out there. So it's just a raw collection of data. Then we look at the marketing plan. How are we doing as far as marketing from, let's call it, a rental facility? What about the Lakefront Studios? How is that doing? How are we doing as far as the entertainment value, the recreational amenity of our outdoor spaces, to see where those opportunities are, maybe where the challenges are? The funding, of course, is going to be the biggest thing, because anything that you do, you're going to have to incorporate a financial tie to that. So all those things are going to start to go through a cost-benefit analysis for the county to have different options on the table or recommendations based on all that data set for what we should be going towards entering into 2027. So that way we're very thoughtful and we're not basically reactive, because that's not how we like to do business on either side.
Thank you.
You bet.
And then I know there was a question, I think we're working with Kenosha, City of Kenosha inspectors.
Correct.
On the building. I'm sure we're at least going to have a structure that's going to be safe.
Yes.
Egress, and well, it's safe to go in. If it's not safe to come out, it's a different story. That's what we're looking at.
Yes, so even life safety, making sure that not only are we trying to prevent the infiltration that Frank Martinelli is leading that project, to ensure that we're not doing where the structural integrity is not being undermined, but also from a life safety, risk management. So they're looking at all these different avenues from pointing out things that we can improve on for short term, that we don't have to wait until 2027. That we can put it into either our operation improvement plan or capital improvement plan as we progress by having an extra pair of eyes that get to see this from across the country. So it really is value added, because sometimes even for us internally, we have our blinders on and say, it's been like that for 9 years, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable. So working with someone else that points those things out, it's already been value added for us.
Any other questions for Matt on any of his stuff?
Thank you.
Next victim, our last one. Facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only update really is the KCC backup generator. We were able to verify the references and cut the PO and get the process started for that. Other than that, everything's up to date.
So we did get a PO for it, is that what you're saying?
Yes, we did issue the PO once they fulfilled the requirements of all the checking their references. They were a brand new vendor to us. We had never worked with them before, so we did our due diligence checking through their references. They were actually a sub. They do a lot of work with Nokia for their cellular towers, putting generators in. So they had to work with Nokia corporate to try to get that okay for us to talk to the references. So that took a little bit of time.
Okay. So they've been vetted as a top notch?
They've been vetted, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Frank?
Projects? Just to refresh us, question. Within budget then?
It was a little higher than budget, but within our kind of 15% scenario. In fact, it was only, I think it was $5,000 over budget. So that's including engineering. So, but we have a way of if, as long as it's within 15%, that we can borrow from other projects that come in under in the same category.
Sure. And then still tied up completion this quarter. Well, it's next year.
So correct.
By the time you get it ordered, submittals, all that stuff, it's going to be next year.
Correct. The generator itself is a year lead time. Those lead times, along with a lot of other things, just went out there. But ours are tested and maintained by Cummings, and right now they feel they're fine. Plus, we have a backup generator to the radio tower, so if there was a problem, we already have a system and a generator we could hook that up.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? All right.
Thank you.
That was painless.
Next victim.
Clement for our highways. Anything new or update you want to give us from your report?
Yeah, the first one is that I'm very cold today and been struggling behind it. So. Well, the only additional item here that is not part of the report is we received a resolution from the town of Wheatland to conduct a speed study on County Trunk Highway O from County Trunk Highway F to Highway 50. Typically, that's how we get those requests for study. It ensures that it's requested by the community, it's not requested by an individual. So we have to get a resolution from the local municipality. In that case, we're happy to do that, and so we'll be doing that for the next, it takes roughly 2 months to gather all the data and making sure that our report is tight. However, the report will be presented here. Whether we are increasing or decreasing or leaving it as it is, it will be presented to this committee.
Can you go back? What were the highways again?
County Trunk Highway O.
County Highway O, okay.
From County Trunk Highway F to County Trunk Highway 50.
That's what we just did, right?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. And that resolution is going to be for, sorry, I couldn't write down this.
No, they've already passed the resolution. Town of Wheatland passed the resolution requesting that we do a speed study.
Speed study, that's what they want.
Mainly a speed study they want us to reduce the speed limit. And they are also requesting for double yellow lines, some sections.
They want us to reduce the speed limit?
Yes.
It's already at 35 for most of the way.
Well, the main section there. Concern about is the section of 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, okay.
They want us to reduce that section.
Okay. Sounds good. You think it'd be about 2 months?
Yeah, it usually takes that because it just depends on staff workload. Okay. And the fact that you have to go and do the counts, and then you have to do some measurements and things like that.
Yeah, go ahead. Have we not done this one previously on this road?
Not that I recall, no.
It was really bad roads. I think people were under 45, probably a lot of the way.
Yeah.
But now that the road's nice and smooth, I think the speed study's got to find out people are going faster than 45.
That is true, and that will require that we increase the speed limit.
Yep.
If the speed limit says the 85th percentile is 55, then I'll put it at 55 instead of 35 that they are requesting for.
Yeah.
But again, we have to go through the process and make sure that we do our due diligence.
When I go there, and although I didn't go there tonight, I take a class, outreach class up at Wheatland Grade School, and I come down aft to oh man, that's 45, and here comes the 35 speed, drop it down, and even at 45, I'm still being ridden by people. So it is speeding, and they had a speed check sign at one time, and they've got the best ones now because they have the blue and red flashing lights, like somebody's gotten pulled over, and I catch you. Notice, but after a week of that, people understand it's not there and they keep going. So I think it slowed down if we got the sheriff down there. We're far off, but okay, fair enough. Any questions, sir?
I did notice, I thought there was a concern about the passing zone on the hill area there, so it looks like you guys made it double yellow all the way to the bottom of the hill.
Correct, there was a double yellow there, but if we're just doing the schedule for double yellow line, it doesn't meet warrant, but I have a feeling that because it's a hill, in those, maybe prior to my time, it was marked as double yellow. So we went back, used Google Map to really identify that section that it was actually double yellow. So we went back and put back a double yellow. But they're also requesting for a complete double yellow throughout the section of the, which is, we can't just put double yellow. So.
Right, now, understood. I noticed that it was updated, and the people on the lived on the hills were concerned coming out of the driveway.
Sure. I can remember that. Yeah. The speed itself, I can understand it. I think people are speeding, and it isn't that it's 45. I just think people are going 60. So.
Probably.
Yeah. Any other questions for Clem? No?
Really?
Really?
Thank you, Clement. That was easy. Get you an easy one. Jim, Mr. Wallace,
yes.
Go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jim, your golf report's out. I don't know if anybody has questions on it or if you have any additional information.
A couple of brief updates.
Okay.
After a fairly positive weekend, our total rounds are just a tick under 98,000, so we've outpaced 2022 for the month. Let's hope October remains good weather. The irrigation project, they actually are slightly ahead of schedule despite a challenging weather week last week. We expect some staking to begin on Thursday evening.
That's on the Red Course.
On the Red Pines 9, that's correct. And we expect some staking to begin Thursday evening. And with possible lateral lines beginning to go in next week, the contractor plans on doubling the size of their staff next week as well. And the weather looks really good, so that's moving in a very positive direction.
Anybody have any questions for Jim?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
How's the new baby?
He's really good. The complete opposite of our first. He's been feed him, burp him, and he goes to sleep. And the first one was not that way. So thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for all your well wishes. It's been really great.
The first part of your report here, was this in here before, or is this something new as far as the profit per round?
This, Mr. Walton and I added in, and you can see how...
Based off our conversations from last month, is this what you guys are able to give us, kind of?
Correct. And
okay.
You can see how fluid the number is, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
We're coming into the season where, just to use easy round numbers, let's say we're doing $100 a day in revenue, and our expenses are $50 a day. we're coming into the season where there's going to be bad days where we do $40 in revenue and those expenses are still $50. And so you'll see that, you can see last year ended at 981. At this time of year, it was 1216. It ended the year at 981. So once all the costs roll in, that number becomes a lot more solid. You know, we really don't know that number until we close out the year, what that exact number is. But it gives us a good idea that, hey, we're hitting our benchmarks, we're doing well right now, and we can kind of see how that number moves and see, oh, we can look back and say, well, what happened to make that number move like that? Things like, we had a fairway mower go down the other day. It's a $1,600 part. It's part of the hydraulic system. So things like that happen, and that number moves a little bit.
That's why that's hard to determine. Chris, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, I think one of the most beneficial aspects of having, or what that shows, is the rates were increased to try and help pay for some of the golf improvement plans that we have. Part of the experience of the golfers, we're hoping for around $3 increase of profit based off the 100,000 average rounds per golf that we have. And that shows that we're right on the market on what we're hoping for to help pay for all the projects.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, well, thank you. It was very informative. I liked it a lot. So
wonderful.
That's very helpful.
Anybody else? Appreciate it, Jim.
Thank you.
Back home to the little ones.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have Matt, Mr. Storino.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I don't have any changes to my report. Wendy did help me reformat it to give it a little bit cleaner of a look. So you may notice that it's still the same format, just a little bit cleaner.
Okay. Well, you did send out an email today, though.
I did, yes.
I don't know if everyone got their email or not, but this would be, it's not related to any of it.
Correct. No, that's not reported on the project list.
Okay. Did you want to just briefly talk about that, Matt?
Sure. So at the public safety building, we had an issue with our backup generator that serves the old portion of the building, the sheriff's department, jail, evidence, ID. So we had to bring in a temporary generator to sit on site until that generator can be repaired. So right now we're looking at possibly a week if we can repair it. If we have to get a part that's currently overseas, we could be looking at a temporary generator up to 4 weeks. Everything is okay right now, as long as we maintain power in the building. If we do lose power, there will be a little bit of a shutdown until we can get that temp generator up and running. 15
what
minutes.
If it can't be replaced?
We'll just manufacture one to make it work. The unit's not that old. It's 2017 Caterpillar. So they have the part. It's just on a shelf in Germany.
I'll go get it.
I'll go get it. Okay. Anybody have any questions for Matt? All right. Thank you, Matt.
Okay. You're welcome.
We're going to go to the director now.
Shall we?
What's that?
Just go to you.
Oh, you didn't get the email? Oh, Matt, could you make sure?
I'll forward it to the committee. I just went to the supervisor and let him know.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sean. I think we have a couple of resolutions, but you take the lead here.
Yes. Good evening. I'll talk about each action item as a group first, and then we need action upon both of them separately. But together, the Kenosha County Administration is currently working with the city on discussions of how to redevelop some environmentally impacted tax delinquent parcels. Two in particular is the first one, which is our Roosevelt Auto Body, it's more formally known as. And the second one is what has been known as the Orange Ooze property, which is up near Poreo Park in the city of Kenosha. Both properties have properties that are delinquent. So the first one is tax delinquent. The second, the county does own a few of the parcels. The remaining parcels are what is impacted under this application. So the resolution is to apply for a WAM application to complete a phase one before the county takes title to the properties. This allows the county to keep CERCLA and state liability exemptions by completing this. We do are aware that they are environmentally impacted, so this is just a step towards keeping that liability exemption. WAM application is 100% funded through the DNR. We would be asking for them to actually contract with their private contractor to get these done. So it would be funded and managed by the DNR if we were to receive these grant applications. So I did, we do have both of the applications here if anybody was interested in them, pending the resolution.
So the first property you said was what was formerly known as Roosevelt
Auto Body. 907. It used to be McAleer's Body Shop.
What's that? I'm sorry?
It used to be McAleer's Body Shop. I lived three houses away from it.
Okay. It was tax delinquent mobile building. And we need to do a phase one.
Yes, to do a phase one is basically looking at the history of the site and what contaminations could be there. We are aware of some contaminations through the DNR, but to keep the CERCLA liability and the state exemption, you have to go through the phase one. Yes.
So if they find something in phase one, then we have to proceed with removal of said...
Not necessarily. So we're in the discussions at what point in time the city would take title. So if we're, when we're doing these jointly, it kind of allows us both to use the phase one as long as the title is transferred within 180 days. So we're working with the city on what that means and when they would like to take title.
And then the city wants, I guess it doesn't matter what they want it for, it's just we get it off of our...
The discussion has been about tax delinquent parcels and possibility of redevelopment.
Yeah, so they're looking at some sort of redevelopment.
Right, right.
Anybody have any questions?
I do. When I was on Public Works back in 2019-2020, we had talked about the north side parcel with the ooze. Actually trying to make that an extension of the bike path so that it doesn't go on the road. So, but the city has agreed to take that over?
No, not at this point. The Orange Ooze property is in discussions, but at this point we believe that'll probably still remain a county-owned one. There's one other parcel that we are researching right now that the city is conducting a phase one right now for, and if we were to take tax delinquent from that, it could transfer, but that one is not part of our application for a WAM application at this point.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the mayor and I have been in conversations with the Roosevelt property one and the other property that Shelby just mentioned. The 17th Court property came to light and got a little filming on it last year.
Right around the corner from there, and so I know that a lot of the neighbors would be like, it would be nice instead of connecting the bike path from Corio Nature Center through that property would be nice, because right now they have to go on the road over the tracks, where this would be nicer, and the plots to fit a road in there and to have houses in there, I don't know if it would fit, but I know there's discussions about that.
I just know that the city would like us
in the back and oil.
So this is where the mayor had originally bought this particular parcel.
So the grant basically is 100% for doing the...
Yes, the DNR would pay 100% of the contracted needs to do the phase one.
To do the phase one. That's the only
Correct.
Thing that we're... I mean, the resolution to go forward, but then that's going to be the next step. Is phase one, again, nothing in the county...
That starts the next step.
Correct. Or whomever's time to put it together.
Correct. Correct.
All right. We have to take these individually, I guess?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So starting with the resolution authorizing to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, DNR Wisconsin Assessment Monies, WAM program for the property at 2907 63rd Street, property by Kenosha County. This resolution, are there, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve.
I'll let Wendy figure it out. I'm really confused too. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing no discussions. Youth and Governance, how would you
Aye.
Vote?
Aye.
Okay. The rest of the committee, your vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. All right, second resolution here, authorizing application to Wisconsin Department of DNR for Wisconsin Assessment Monies WAM program for parcel. The resolution here, located in the area of 17th Court and 15th Street. Ocean County. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Motion. Second.
By Stock, second by Belsky. Any discussion? Okay, see no discussion. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
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 All right. Motion passes. All right, Shelley, what else is new for us?
I did have two little things. Human Services, I've been sending weekly updates. If you've all been seeing those, I'm trying to include photos from Frank or CMA in that. There is a groundbreaking tomorrow at 2, if you've received that notification. We also received word from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that the Pike River 60% design report submittal has been rescheduled to September 29th, so hopefully we'll get that this week. And that is what I had to report.
There was a tri-colored bat issue.
Yes.
Are we still fighting that issue, or what's going on?
Clement's still here. Clement is not here.
Oh, okay.
I believe they are still investigating. That is the last I had heard, but I certainly can double check with Clement.
I offer my backyard for the bats. Just to get going, because they eat a lot of mosquitoes. Okay. Yeah, if you could have them.
Sure. Get an update.
I'll cross it. Appreciate it.
Can you set a time for
Well, that's going to come right up there in just a minute.
Okay.
And that's 2 o'clock tomorrow for the groundbreaking for anyone who couldn't make it, the Human Services Building, yes?
Presentation that's on the 24th at 6:20 or something, we're getting slotted.
want that as a specific time, or do you want to have it here in the hearing room?
It should be here in the hearing. For the budget hearing, yeah, it should be here. It is the budget hearing.
Yes. Do you want it at?
Yeah, what time will we put it at? Regular time, or do we want to?
I think we have it at 6.
Yeah, 6, I thought, last.
It's 6 o'clock. Yeah.
6 o'clock.
Well, you know, I'll leave that up to the public works director, whatever she wants to do. Okay. Last year we didn't have anything. So. And everyone was, John was complaining, I didn't have anything last year, right, John?
Yeah. Pizza? No food last year.
Okay.
And Shelley, anything else?
That is all I have.
That is all? Okay, thank you. Any other matters that would be hopefully brought to the committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
By Zabowski?
Yes.
Second by Stock. I'll expect the two others next time to do all of them.